better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
So, Tommy, I told you we were going to talk baseball this segment, but since it is a What's Your Beef Wednesday, something crossed my timeline that I have to beef about. Mike Farrell, who does a tremendous job for Rivals covering recruiting nationally, put out his top running backs returning for 2020. You know who's not on that list?
Oh, well, I'm gonna guess Boyd, but based on the way you're talking.
You want to take, yeah, Rakeem Boyd. And like, this is perfect for a Wednesday in the fact that I'm seeing this, and how do you not have him on this list? And I'll list out the names because there's some really talented guys on there. Chuba Hubbard, Oklahoma State, who's an absolute stud. Najee Harris for Alabama. Travis Etienne for Clemson. Javon Hawkins for Louisville. Journey Brown for Penn State. Kenny Brooks for Oklahoma, Zamir White, or some other names on that. But Rakeem Boyd is not on this top 10 returning running backs. Tommy, he put up over 1,100 yards with no quarterback play and really no offensive line. How is he not on this list, man?
Again, same thing we talked about last segment with Mason Jones. It's the name on the front of the jersey more than the name on the back of the jersey. And let's be honest. There's a lot of – is there a program, particularly in the SEC, there's more uncertainty about than Arkansas for this next year? Coaching-wise, personnel-wise, quarterback-wise, offensive line. I mean, so I can see why if I was out there as a national writer making preseason predictions, I'd be a little bit reserved, particularly with Arkansas's recent history, about how out there I'm going to get with their personnel.
It just seems like that every time there's an opportunity to slight the Arkansas Razorbacks, to snub the Arkansas Razorbacks, and not necessarily baseball, but more football and basketball, the whatever committee, the SEC committee, the SEC coaches, whoever, they take advantage of it. And maybe I'm overplaying that, maybe because it's close to home and like that, but just seeing this list and Rakeem Boyd, and I saw Trey Knox and Mike Woods and some other players come to Mason Jones's defense yesterday. It's like, how did this happen? They're looking at the statistic. It's like, how? And I think, Tommy, they're so early in their careers at Arkansas that they don't realize that a lot of times the Razorbacks just get screwed in these type of situations.
It's the plight. It's the history. It's the life we all know for decades, longer than I've been around. I mean, this is what my dad raised me on right here. So, I mean, these are small things, small potatoes in a lot of ways. But this is just the way it is. So, again, you've got to earn respect. And let's be honest, Arkansas hasn't earned, particularly on the football field, has earned no respect.
There's an extra degree. You know how the phrase respect is earned, it's not given? Well, there's an added nth degree when it comes to you playing for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's just like, oh, you don't belong to the SEC. But like, if you look at the history, and I know the recent history. Now, basketball, it's been a lot better than the football team has, but this team has competed at the highest level, but because of my stupid generation, they only see what's happened like the last 3 or 4 years. And so that's amplified on social media, and because of that, people can't, they don't even remember like dating back 10 years ago, Tommy, sometimes, which is just, it's mind-boggling to
remember
me
how far
happened.
Back?
Like 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Be like, people, what did you think I said?
I thought you said 80 years.
Oh.
No,
yeah.
I don't remember 80 years ago. Sorry.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you what happened 80 years ago either. But
I'm guessing 8 to 10 is a problem for you too.
Yeah. No. Well, hey, no, I wouldn't say that. I have one of the strengths I think that God has blessed me with is I have a decent memory. I can stretch back. That's the only one that I was given.
We knew it wasn't basketball.
Well, easy.
We knew it wasn't your outside jumper.
Listen. I played a lot better on Sunday night than I did the previous week. That doesn't mean I played great. I just played a lot better.
How come you don't say this stuff when he's sitting right here?
Yeah, he's a big talker when he's, 8 hours away.
All right. Yeah. So the Arkansas Razorbacks got a big win in Baumwalker Stadium yesterday, beating the Lopes, as Clay Henry called them earlier this week, the Grand Canyon Antelopes. 6-1, they had 12 hits in the game. Will McIntyre made his first career start on the mound last night. 68 pitches over six innings, had a pretty solid outing. Man, Heston cursed that, Tommy. 3-for-3, he walked once, he got hit by a pitch.
Yeah.
So he got on base 5 times last night at his 5 plate appearances.
Yeah, that pitch that hit him on the hand. They took him out of the game, iced it, and then he's standing in the dugout, and a foul ball nearly comes over and clips him again. He was like a magnet last night for this stuff.
Okay, Tommy, if you're getting hit by a pitch, where's the, like, outside of the midsection, a little below the midsection area, where's the one place you don't want to get hit? Is it the wrist? Is it the kneecap? Like, where do you, is it the head? Like, where
hands.
Do you not, it's,
I mean,
the hands?
How can you play baseball without your hands?
Okay.
Can't field, can't hit, can't do anything. And there are a million little bones in your hands that are easily broken. I mean, yeah, to me, it's the hands, because they're just so fragile, because there are, I mean, literally hundreds of bones in there, and they're easily fractured. So, but you can't play baseball. I mean, your feet and your hands are everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'd say that's a good point. He's, Tommy,
that
he's
may
got
not hurt as bad as some other places, but it could be the most costly place to be hit.
Yeah, and he would be probably – I'm trying to think. I know Christian Franklin's having a stellar year behind the plate, but he's probably the most important baseball player on this team right now.
Position player. He's the guy you probably have the hardest time living without because of the way he's hitting the ball.
I was thinking about this last night, and I was talking to actually Gary and Fort Smith about this working out yesterday. So Connor Knoll, this immense amount of pressure on him based on the fact that he's a stud from Greenwood and, you know, the athletes that come out of there, based on the fact that he's following in Isaiah Campbell and Blaine Knight's footsteps. Tommy, he's not the same caliber of pitcher that those guys were, but the expectation level is still for him to perform at that position. So I'm curious to see the rest of the way, especially when you get into SEC play, what he can provide on that Friday night or Thursday night, depending on when he starts.
Is that because he's Connor Knoll and he's from Arkansas and he's from Greenwood, or, and he played football and he's a little more high profile, or is it just because he's the Friday night starter at Arkansas? Because
I think
your Friday night
starter
at Arkansas,
both, right?
Yeah, that's my point, is you've had such a good run of Friday night starters. The expectation is if you're the number one guy out in a conference series, you're a pro prospect. You're someone that they're really looking at high in the draft. You're supposed to be one of the best pitchers in the league because that's what we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it,
and
as much as anything.
I feel bad for Connor because that would be – I'm trying to think. Well,
feel bad.
I mean, I don't feel bad. Why?
I mean, pressure's part of the deal. Why would you feel bad for Connor Knoll?
Well, he's not the same level of pitcher as the other two guys ahead of him, right? And so
it's
when
March,
you get in a situation, that would be like
March.
That's like, yeah, but okay, yeah, maybe I'm overblowing it a little bit. I guess we'll see the rest of the way. Yeah. But I don't know he's dealing with that injury, whether that's just what I've seen so far, and talked to some more in-depth baseball guys when it comes to that. So.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So Tommy and Jenkins are about as happy as they've been with me since arriving at ESPN Arkansas, because I walked over to the lobby area and went to the front desk and happened to snag 2 Doubletree cookies that
two?
I've heard so much about. Let me say, they lived up to the billing, boys. Two. Well, I just said, I heard you guys have really good cookies, and the gentleman was kind enough to give me 2. So,
and your first bite was like what?
But yeah, these. It was dank. It's very good.
Okay,
very
describe
enjoyable.
It in old people
so
terms.
I will say that these. It was enjoyable to the highest degree.
The whole
is that,
reason
is
to
that
stay
good
at
enough?
The Doubletree. Yeah.
So I don't even. It's. Yeah. So if you hear smacking and stuff, you can blame Tommy because he. Yeah, I will be eating this cookie while doing the
fault.
Show. So that's. Again, this is the best thing about doing this radio show. I tell you guys every morning. whatever I do, whatever I mess up on, whatever you guys don't enjoy, it all comes back to Tommy because he hired me.
So anything good you do, do I get credit for anything good you do?
The great things about working at this stage.
No credit for any of the
absolutely
positive.
Absolutely not. That's individual. I get none of the credit for the
– okay.
Nope.
Just like being at home again.
Just the negative. So, Tom – So I wanted to get into some Eric Musselman audio coming up. He and Mason Jones remarked on Mason not winning SEC Player of the Year. And before we get into that, Tommy, again, the whole idea of team basketball is to be focused on what the team outcome is. Like, can you win? Can you win a basketball game? I always get frustrated, though, when people say, oh, individual accolades don't matter to me. I don't care if I get those awards. No, you care, but you should care about what the team does more. Is that a fair assessment of where we are in sports today?
No, I don't think that's where we're at in sports, but that's where we should be at, that the team comes ahead of individual awards. People
okay,
may
so you
say
think,
that.
And, you think and, more people.
No, I think it's all. I think it's a very individualistic world we live in right now. Everybody's worried about theirs, their draft status,
I just
their
hate
money,
one.
Their
yeah, no,
their love and fame on social media, their points, their buckets. I don't think it's. There's a lot more. What was it? Well, we can't completely say what Shaq said about Kobe. There's no I in team, but he said, yeah, but there's an ME in it. So you know, it's a me world, man.
There's. Yeah, that's one of the best quotes of all time. I wish I could say that, but I can't. I know where you're going, so I can't finish.
But that quote. What you're saying would be wonderful if everybody lived it that way, but I just don't think the majority of people do.
Followed it. Yeah. Well, here's what I get frustrated with, Tommy, is when players, it's not really coaches, but players, because less coaches win individual awards, but players, when they say, oh, that doesn't matter to me, individual. No, it does. Like, just be open and honest about it. Like, when I asked Mason, I think it was a week ago, I was like, do you feel like you deserve this award? And he'd been cagey about answering the question to this point, and he finally said, yeah, I do feel like I deserve the award. And I was like, thank you. Like, thank you for actually saying that. And he went on, and he's like, but it's in God's hands now. I got to do what I can control. And I was like, just be humble about it. But you can, like, there's a difference between, and it's a fine line sometimes, Tommy, but there's a difference between cockiness and arrogance and confidence. Like, you have to find that fine line where you're confident and you're not over the top. And I think that there's certain players you've seen over the years, regardless of sport, that have found that line. Then there's others that have gone over the top. I like the ones that are confident in themselves but don't go over the edge when it comes to bragging and being braggadocious about their play.
Yeah, we're hoping you'll find that line soon. But, no, you're right. There's
a difference
between cockiness and arrogance and confidence. But they're really close. They all live in the same neighborhood, don't they? They may even live on the same street.
Yeah, and it's hard to distinguish sometimes. Here is Eric Musselman on Mason Jones being the player of the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, his player development's been incredible, what he's done scoring the basketball for us. And you also have to give the entire team credit anytime there's an award like this, because somebody has to set a screen, somebody's got to be willing to make a pass. But what he's done this year, Mason's been incredible shooting the ball from three, drawing free throws attempted, certainly deserving of everything that's happened for him based on his work ethic. I mean, it started in the summer when he worked at 6 a.m. And then along those same lines with the awards is, you know, we feel for Isaiah. We feel like he's an all-league player. Obviously, missing five games affects that. I feel like Jimmy Witt's one of the five best defenders in the league. You know, but, hey, we got to go win some games, and that's what we're here for now.
Tommy, we heard from Musselman earlier this season about these 6 a.m. shoot-arounds that Mason would experience, and these weren't all the team going at 6 a.m. This was Mason. I think Jalen Harris was there, potentially Isaiah. But the work that he put in during the offseason paid off. And I mentioned it last segment. He completely embodies what it means to be an Arkansas Razorback, where people look down upon you for whatever reason, and you overcome certain adversities and become one of the best players in your league. That's what Mason Jones is right now. And I think that's why so many people flock to him and really have embraced him since arriving at Arkansas, is because he's one of us. Now, I know he's not I know that people always love the state aspect. Is it a kid from in-state? Mason Jones has become as much of an Arkansas Razorback as anyone in this basketball program, and people love him, and there's good reason why.
Well, and, you know, I think a lot of people are very concerned about what the team may look like without one or both of these guys next year. And it's when you stack up these kind of accolades and awards, it just goes to prove how much more difficult you are going to be to replace at some point. So, yeah, I mean, he has been a tremendous surprise this year with the way he's played. I don't think anyone last year or 365 days ago would have seen the kind of season he's had this year coming.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I agree 100%.
And that's one thing that I think makes sports great is you never know what's around the corner. You know, and who's the other player? Who's the player on this team that could have a breakout year like this next year? I don't know, but I know this. A year ago, we weren't sitting here thinking Mason Jones could be a guy that could get you 30 or 40 on a regular basis in the league.
Yeah, that did not even occur to you. Now, he had some good games last year. I think he had I think it was Isaiah against Kentucky. I'm forgetting the game where he went off. Maybe it was Kentucky where he had a really stellar performance, but it was just like one or two. But this year, man, he has just been unbelievable, and he continuously does it. Hopefully you'll see that continue in the SEC tournament. All right, and Tommy, you remember we had this conversation the other day about how I thought Darren McFadden's Heisman Trophy would have helped in recruiting? Because I thought it would have been one of those things where Houston Nutt, and I know he only lasted another year after he was fired after the – or retired, whatever, after the 2007 season.
He went
season.
To Ole Miss. Let's just say what – he left and went to Ole Miss.
Correct. But I think – and one of the things that Musk talked about yesterday, and we'll get the audio in just a sec, is using this AP co-player of the year as a tool in recruiting. And I think that's going to be crucial moving forward in that aspect, because you can say, hey, this is how you can fit in our offense. Look at this guy that wasn't highly recruited. We got him out of Connor State. He was a decent player before I arrived here, and look what I helped him become. Now, I know Mason has been a big part of his own self-improvement, but Muss and his coaching staff have a major hand in that. Here's Eric Musselman on using Mason Jones Player of the Year in future recruiting.
You know, certainly for our program, it's year one. You know, just, you know, for us as a, you know, obviously for the individual player, for Mason, it's an incredible accomplishment, one that he'll remember the rest of his life. And certainly for our program, it's an important thing as well that our marketing department is willing to promote guys. And, you know, to say that we have a player that was co-player of the year, we can certainly use that with recruiting. Recruits can understand that if you're a primary scorer, we're going to go to you in isolation situations. You know, so Mason has paved the way for us, you know, as a new coach staff as well. He's given us a platform to sell some things as well, and then he's certainly, you know, building his own personal resume by getting an award like this. So I think it's not just something that happens today. It's something that we'll be talking about with recruits 3 and 4 years from now, that you know, that our SID department publishes stuff that promotes people. All those things become really important for a program as well.
Tommy, you think about my generation, what do they respond to a lot of times?
Social media attention.
Ding, 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 ding. What has the Arkansas marketing department, in terms of the basketball side of things, done a great job with?
Social media videos, creative ways to get your attention on social media. Social media is the key words there, but they have been more creative. But I'm going to tell you, you talk about this department, I think Muss is at the head of the department. You hear all these guys talk, yep. And you hear him on his coach's show when they had it at Sassy's. He's the creative thinker that comes up with these ideas. It isn't just a bunch of millennials in a think tank that come up with, hey, let's do these videos when we got these guys getting ready to commit about it's time. It's almost time. It's, you know, and these guys, different guys on staff doing these videos. Very creative. Very, it stood out. It got you to notice. It got you to sit up and say, what's going on here? And it got you to sharing and liking. But I think Muss is as big a part of the creative side of that as really any of the 20-something-year-olds.
Tommy, you're exactly right. I was watching the recruiting video that his son was on, featured in, mostly talking about the different aspects, how they go about recruiting. Riley Hall, who I know, was also in the video. And a lot of times, like you were saying, Muss will come in that morning with an idea. Hey, we should do this. Let's try and get this going. Like the tennis thing where he was like promoting the Arkansas tennis team. He's like, hey, Riley, go get me a racket and a tennis ball. And they wanted to do this. There's just certain He's very creative in how he goes about things, and he didn't necessarily learn that at Nevada, but he helped perfect his craft at Nevada, who prior to his arrival wasn't a great basketball school. Like, Tommy, name me a Nevada player outside of Eric Musselman's tenure. Can you name anyone that comes to your mind?
Closest I can get is like Larry Johnson and Stacey Auburn that played at UNLV. That's about as close as I can get to a Nevada player.
And that's it. I mean,
and that's on the other end of the state. That's way south from where they were playing.
You prove my point. Like, there's not basketball tradition there, and yet
they're Eric the Wolfpack. I can tell you that.
That's true. I know Alford, Steve Alford, is their head coach now, but outside of that, I can't tell you a lick about them outside they play. Is it Reno? Is that where they're at?
I believe that's
or
right.
Is it? Yep. Okay.
They're
so
the north end of the state.
Correct. So there's not a lot of basketball rich tradition that goes along with the program. Yet Eric Musselman was able to establish something there, not only with great basketball teams, but a social media presence that not only reached the Mountain West Conference, but across college basketball. And now he has such a bigger base with this Arkansas basketball program and what he can do.
Yeah.
And when you have ammunition like this, with Mason Jones winning SEC co-player of the year, voted on by the AP, that loads a bullet in his gun, and he's good to go. Like, he is. That is perfect prime material that he can use and his marketing department can use to promote this program. And you didn't necessarily, like, you didn't catch the same attention when you were at Nevada. You catch a lot more attention from Arkansas. And when Mason Jones, we'll get into this coming up, because I know Duncan Powell, who's the kid out of DeSoto, same high school that Mason went to, who's committed, brought this up, how Arkansas fans, he loves Arkansas fans because of how much the attention they give him on social media. It was crazy how many fans were so happy that you saw yesterday on social media that Mason won that award, because it's their guy. It's the guy that came from being a prep school to JUCO to where he is now. It's the guy that's outworked so many other more talented people to get where he is today. And that's why I think Mason Jones, people love him so much, because again, he is a perfect symbol of who you are as an Arkansas Razorback fan.
Live in Nashville, Tennessee at the DoubleTree downtown near Bridgestone Arena for the SEC Tournament. This is the Morning Rush, brought to you in part by Burton Pools and Spas. The perfect solution for buying a pool without breaking the bank is a semi-in-ground pool. They have them right now at Burton Pools and Spas for under $10,000. So if you want a great-looking backyard, you want that pool your kids and your wife have been begging for, Burton's can help you out without breaking the bank. Again, under 10 grand for a semi-in-ground pool with Burton Pools and Spas. Read more online at burtonpools.com. See them in Springdale and in Fort Smith. That's Burton Pools and Spas, your source for backyard fun.
So we've heard from Muss on Mason winning the SEC Player of the Year, co-Player of the Year in the AP. Let's hear what Mason had to say about winning the award and then also hearing that he did not win the coach's SEC Player of the Award.
It felt good, you know, just seeing all the hard work that I put in this whole year is paying off. And even though we are 7-11 in conference, we have a good chance to make a good run in the tournament on the side of the bracket we on. So today was a good day, but we got more work to be done. This was always the plan coming in my junior year. I wanted to put the work in. I wanted things like this to happen. So it's good to see that all the hard work that I put in this summer and during the season is still paying off. But it's still more work to be done, and I still haven't peaked yet. So, you know, it's still things I can still get better at. And Coach Muss and all the coaching staff and my teammates are helping me get better. So, you know, every day I learn and every day I stay to get better. I kind of heard both at the same time. I woke up around like 10 and Coach Muss texted me and I found out at the same time. Then I went to Twitter and Twitter told me I was just looking at how people said I got robbed. But then AP told me that I was player of the year. So, you know, it is what it is, but it's still more work to be done.
Tommy Jenkins, I told you guys last hour, wouldn't it be the greatest thing ever if Arkansas made a run down here in Nashville, and after every single game, whether it's Stackhouse, whether it's Frank Martin, whether it's Will Wade, and whoever Arkansas would play the rest of the way, if Mason asks each coach, hey, coach, did you vote for me for SEC Player of the Year? And to see the response from that coach, if he said yes, if he said no, if he was just so petrified based off the question, I think that would be hilarious. Now, Mason, I don't think would ever do that, but it would be a very funny conversation to see firsthand if he actually did.
It only works if you win, though.
Correct, yeah.
So, you know, you just got to go about your business. You were still AP Player of the Year, co-Player of the Year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like he was completely shut out, but you would sure like the respect of the coaches around the league, because to me, their awards, their accolades carry a little more weight.
No, I 100% agree. And I'm just, Tommy, like, as a coach, wouldn't it be easier to see how more valuable Mason is to his team than Emmanuel Quickley? Now, I know, listen, I know Emmanuel Quickley is a really good basketball player. I've watched him at times this season. Now, I haven't watched him extensively, but I know that he has really come on as of late. And that's why, at one point, Nick Richards was the leading Kentucky candidate for SEC Player of the Year. Then Quickley overtook him a little bit. But I would think, Tommy, as coaches, particularly the individuality of the award, them seeing how important he is to his basketball team, my thought process is that would lead them to pick Mason as their winner, but it just didn't turn out that way.
No, and again, it's about the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back a lot of times.
But with, like, okay, we think about, like, media-wise, but coaches, like, why does that affect coaches, you think? I would think it wouldn't affect coaches, you know?
Because Kentucky's still the program they fear/respect the most. Yeah. It's still the gold standard in this league. I think just subconsciously it works its way there. It's almost like you fear, I don't want to be the only guy that didn't vote for the Kentucky player, whether it's Quickley or Nick Richard. I'm just surprised that those two guys didn't split the vote and Mason Jones didn't win it based on that. That's what surprised me, is the two Kentucky players didn't compete against each other enough that Mason Jones got one more vote than either one of those.
Let's go to the phone lines. 877-377-6963 is the number to call or text in. Carl is in Lavaca. Carl, you're on the Morning Rush.
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Hey, Carl.
Yeah, well, so I got a couple things. Y'all were talking about Mason Jones, Player of the Year conversation. My opinion on the whole thing is that, you know, if we were going to the NCAA tournament for kind of a walk, I think it would have been a runaway with Mason Jones winning it. Because the numbers don't lie compared to him and Quickley. However, my case for Quickley is that, you know, Quickley, like Ty said, has stepped up in late games, or in games as of late, like going to Florida without Ashton Hagans and him really carrying the load. Also, the last time they played Florida at home, I think he hit 5 straight threes in a sequence or something like that. It sucks to see Mason not win it. But, however, another thing is, so the ESPN top 100 NBA rankings came out for this upcoming draft class, and Isaiah was ranked at 62, Mason at 80. So I think it's a good sign, or a positive sign, of them hopefully coming back. I think both of them will declare without agents, and hopefully one of them returns. I think Mason is more likely to return than Isaiah, though.
Yep. I think you're 100% right on that, Carl. Appreciate the call. So, Tommy, you spoke to this yesterday. You felt like Daniel Gafford was a sure-fire draft pick in the NBA. We've seen, and I wouldn't necessarily call it sporadic, but we've seen Isaiah, well, like 18th on Kyle Boone's CBS Sports mock draft. I've seen him at 30s, 40s. We just heard Carl from Lavaca talk about Isaiah being listed at the 60. It's a little more all over the place with Isaiah, when at one point in time you thought Daniel was a lottery pick. And I'm wondering, we can talk about factors all we want. How much does that particular factor play into Isaiah's decision on if he returns for his junior year?
Well, Daniel Gafford had the body type that you felt like it was just, everybody felt it was a consensus he was going to get drafted. And he was probably going to get drafted in the first round and maybe even be a lottery pick. It was to the point where media and fans were all like, he needs to go. This is what's best for him.
Correct.
I think these are more iffy decisions, more 50-50 than what it was with Gafford here.
Yeah.
And Mason Jones, it feels like, based on the draft experts, he's not getting the projections that others get, so maybe another year would be best for him.
And the it dude factor, being the number one guy on campus, and I don't – do you think – let me ask you this. And I think Mason and Isaiah really like playing together. But if Isaiah decided to come back next year, do you think that would help or hurt Mason's chances of coming back next year? Do you think he wants to come back and be the guy, or do you think he wants to try and come back and be and go potentially deep in the NCAA tournament with his tag mate,
I brought
Isaiah
this up
Joe?
Earlier in the week with Mason Jones, he's got siblings that have had high success in college basketball.
Correct. His sister's the all-time leading assist leader at Texas A&M. His brother Matt won that 2015 national title with the Duke Blue Devils.
I think, you know, and I just know what sibling rivalries are like. You think he'd like to add a little more to his resume so that Thanksgiving's a little easier for him for the next 50 years? He's not always having to take a back seat to his brother and sister about their accomplishments. I think you want to – I think there's something to that as well, perhaps, that, hey, my brother – my siblings have had great success in college basketball. I'd like to add a little more to my resume. That's got to be rattling around in there somewhere.
So you were joking with me earlier, Tommy. I know we're coming up at the end of the segment. You were joking with me earlier because I do have a brother. It's like, how much competitive aspect do you have? Well, I want to beat my brother in everything.
Yeah.
Mason seems to have that competitive edge as well.
It's just hard for you because your brothers and sisters are so much better athletes than you. That's just
I am better looking too. So that
better
hurts
looking,
as well.
More successful, all those.
Yeah, a lot of different aspects going against me.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
Let's go to the phone lines where our buddy Kevin McPherson is waiting. You can follow his work on either Hawkville, you can see him on Pigtrail Nation, and some other different places. Kevin, good morning. Did you make the trip to Nashville, or are you staying back in Little Rock for this weekend, man?
Man, I've been on self-quarantine for the last 2 weeks. I had the flu, and with all this other stuff, this pandemic they're talking about, I have not been in a gym or an arena since February 27th.
Wow.
So
that's so unlike you, man. Are you doing okay?
I've got my media credentials for the SEC. Say again?
I said, are you doing okay? That's so unlike you. That's like withdrawals for you. I bet you're having withdrawals right now.
Oh, this is my time of year. This is horrible. I mean, I've got my credentials for the SEC tournament, and I'm trying to push myself to get there, and I may come Thursday. Arkansas obviously is going to beat Vanderbilt on the Wednesday sadness game? Start today, guys,
Wednesday,
and you're there.
The Wednesday of death, we're calling it.
Yeah.
Well, look, the Razorbacks are still a bubble team, and you know, the best things that can happen for Arkansas coming into Nashville is several things. First of all, Eric Musselman's a guy who likes preparation, okay? So you know if you win Wednesday night, you know who you're playing Thursday. If you win Thursday, you know who you're playing Friday. So Arkansas's obviously already faced these teams, but you already know who you're going to play. And so for a team that, you know, likes to scout, they like to figure out what teams are doing well this time of year and what's been working recently and, you know, looking at the trends, you know, they can have an idea and prep for that. The big thing is Arkansas hasn't won 3 games in a row since December. And if you go back to December, they had a week between games at that time, which is, I think, the formula for having success, because for a team that's short on numbers, doesn't have depth, doesn't have size, you really, you know, that extra time not only gives you rest the legs, but it helps you, you know, give you a lot more time to prepare for that next opponent. So this is obviously a lot different. Winning 3 games in a row, I think, puts Arkansas smack dab in the conversation for a bid. The resume would look really good at that point.
So, Kevin, that's a
tall order, and this is a good Vanderbilt team.
So on that note, Kevin, he's been stressing not only this week but at the end that we got to focus on Vanderbilt. Based on what you just said, do you think he's had some of his staff look into potentially scouting and setting up game plans for both South Carolina and LSU, or do you think he's entirely focused and that's not just coach speak when it comes to the Vanderbilt Commodores tonight?
Listen, Eric Musselman is a guy that believes in preparing to the max. And if he knows he's got to win the first game, that's got to be a focus. There's no doubt about it. And I just said good Vanderbilt team. I know that sounds weird. This team is playing spoiler right now. They upset at Alabama last week and then followed up with a home win over South Carolina. Those were two bubble teams. So Vanderbilt's playing well right now, and they're in their own backyard. So that is the focal point. There's no doubt about it. You've got to pick up the first one before you can move on. But Merrick Musselman's a guy I don't think sleeps a lot, and I'll be surprised if he doesn't have some ideas about these other games and some preparation that's already gone into it, just in case, because you're going there to win. So you're not going there thinking, okay, we're not going to advance. You've got to have some plan in your back pocket for games you know will be coming up if you advance.
Kevin, would you describe Arkansas as inconsistent, because they've had some inconsistent starts in games, and certainly, you know, when you go from leading 14-1 against Tennessee to being down 14-0 in your next game at Georgia, that makes you wonder why this team swings back and forth so much. And do you attribute that to not playing at Bud Walton Arena? Do you think a neutral site will be different? What do you expect as far as out-of-the-gate performance from this basketball team starting tonight?
Great question. I have no idea. Let me tell you why. Arkansas has not played at a neutral site this season. They played three road games in the non-conference. And since that time, obviously, when you get in league play, you've got nine at home and nine on the road. And so this is going to be a different animal for Arkansas. A couple of things that I've noticed. You talked about the inconsistency. A lot of our talk about what Arkansas was and wasn't was with Isaiah Jones without him, and there's so much truth to that. But if you look at the numbers, this team has not been as good defensively down the stretch, even with Isaiah Joe. And that was the calling card. And I think a big part of that is the minutes that have taken their toll on a team. We just talked about it, short on numbers and roster depth. And this is the time of year where I think those things show up in statistics like on defense, because you're not as fresh as you were. It takes a toll. And so I think that's part of also why we've seen this team up and down. When they're hot offensively early, it looks good. Defensively, they're not as grind as they have been, and so they can also get behind, because I don't think the defense is getting stops like it was. So playing at a neutral site, a true neutral site for Arkansas, is going to be interesting because they haven't done it all year. Yeah.
Do you think Arkansas can avoid foul trouble, particularly with Adriel Bailey and Mason Jones? Those have been themes throughout conference play. We know at the SEC tournament, they're not going to back off what has happened all year. In fact, maybe even emphasize some more things as far as the amount of contact that's allowed. Can Arkansas avoid foul trouble in this game tonight?
Another great question. You know, that remains to be seen. This team, I think, has shown some games where it's done better in that department. We know rebounding is always an issue. We know they've got to be plus in the turnover department. They've been one of the top 10 teams in the country, but fouls have plagued this team for most of the season when it's lost games. And so every team comes in with some kind of size advantage or some kind of interior in the paint advantage, it seems like, against Arkansas. You know, the strength of Vanderbilt's really its guards, but it's got some versatile bigs that are starting to kind of, you know, round into some postseason form, we'll say. And that's always going to give Arkansas problems. You know, the foul story will be a big storyline tonight if Arkansas is going to win.
We're talking with Kevin McPherson at AR Hoop Scoop on Twitter if you want to follow his content. Kevin, when you look at Mason Jones not winning the coach's SEC Player of the Year, how much of that is going to affect him in this tournament?
You know, I don't think it should affect him. He got the media version of it or shared that. We've got a three-headed Player of the Year. It's a trophy society. And, you know, Mason Jones is not the best defender in the world, so I can understand. You look at a guy like a Reggie Perry, and he averaged a double-double, probably a better obviously a guy that's probably deserving of a piece of that trophy if you're going to spread it out. Emmanuel Quickley, I guess the best player on the best team in the league. But Mason Jones is an offensive juggernaut. Arkansas is going to need every bit of that. Arkansas is going to need to turn it up a notch defensively. But Mason Jones is the team leader. I don't see any way that Arkansas does well in this tournament. Unless, now, I don't know that the formula for Arkansas winning games is that Mason's got to go out and get 30 every night. I don't believe that to be true. But I don't think him – I think having a piece of that award is, you know, justifies what he did in SEC. Had he gone home empty-handed on that and just been first-team all-SEC, we might see a different attitude with him. That could be high or low, and we wouldn't know. But I think him getting a piece of that, everything's going well for Mason Jones coming into Wednesday night against Vanderbilt.
So one of the things we haven't touched on this morning yet that we've gotten a couple texts in about is the coronavirus impact, Kevin. And I know you've got Craig Pinkerton's email over at the SEC office talking about how they're going about things differently with the Arkansas, not just the Arkansas media in general, and how it approaches to talking to players and coaches to try and prohibit as much contact as possible. With this kind of being a thing right now, not only in the United States, across the world, do you see it impacting the NCAA tournament, not necessarily the SEC tournament, but the NCAA tournament in some way, shape, or form?
I think so. I think they're going to have to address some things. We live in a different world now where we shouldn't be taking things for granted, especially a pandemic. I think for young people, the news that's come out is it doesn't affect them as much, but once something spreads, the percentages are pretty high for folks 60 and older on the mortality rate, and so you've got to address that. You know, how much does it affect the NCAA tournament? That obviously remains to be seen, but it's right up. You know, they don't have a lot of time to figure that out as cases continue to grow in the United States and all over the world, really. One news that came out of China, though, is supposedly the rate of the virus has slowed down and actually reversed itself. So we'll see if there's something to that, if that's actual and if it affects other places. But, you know, there's a lot of – you saw the Ivy League shut down its postseason tournament. cancel it. So, I mean, we're already starting to see a major ripples in sports in the United States.
Kevin,
because they just go ahead.
I'll say, Kevin, you've been ill for a couple of weeks. You said you kind of self quarantined because you had the flu. Does that change your perspective on COVID-19 and coronavirus, and maybe what events should or shouldn't be held? Does just going through what you've been through the last 10, 15 days change how you view it?
Well, it's weird because it coincided with the big buildup on news. So when you're sick and self-quarantined, what are you doing? You're watching a lot of TV. And so I'm watching sporting events, but I'm flipping around and everything on the news is about coronavirus. So it's like extra scary.
Yeah.
So personally, yeah, it's probably changed my perspective a little bit. I don't want to be selfish, though. I work in an office with eight people close to where I live. I can work a lot from home, so I have that advantage. But I didn't want to get those folks infected. I thought, man, maybe I ought to stay out of gyms. So I'll shake a lot of hands and people come up and chest bump, hug. I thought, maybe I need to take care of myself and not get someone else infected. So, yeah, it does change your perspective because I'm thinking that's the flu. This other thing, there's so much unknown about it and the mortality rate's so much higher. It's scary. It is.
So,
it's scary. Go ahead.
At what point did you convince yourself you actually had coronavirus and not the flu? Because if you're laying there watching this coverage and you're sick as a dog, you at some point convinced yourself, I don't have the flu. I'm going to die from the coronavirus.
Right. There was probably a moment when I was delirious from fever where I considered it and gave myself some odds. And I said, who knows? I mean, maybe I shook hands with a couple of college coaches at a high school game on February 26th. That were from the West Coast, so that actually entered my mind. I'm like, I figure the odds are really low on that, but yeah, it did enter across my mind.
So, Kevin, you're not going to be offended if you do end up coming down here to Nashville if Arkansas had a run and I just wave at you rather than shake your hand or fist bump you like we usually do. Is that going to offend you at all?
Absolutely not offended. Not offended at all, man. I get it. Look, we're now I haven't had fever and I haven't had the symptoms are a lot better. And really, I'm starting to get back out of my shell, and I felt like a little bit of a vampire when I got out of the house a couple of times the last few days. I didn't go around a bunch of people, but man, sunlight's good for you. I remember that now.
Yeah. Well, glad you're feeling better. And,
so, Kevin, it was funny.
Yeah,
thanks
for the update on that. So,
didn't mean to scare
Kevin,
anybody.
Kevin, yesterday, Tommy. No, you're good, man. Yesterday, Tommy, like right before I leave, is like. Are you on the show? He's like, aren't you worried about the coronavirus? Well, I wasn't until that specific point until Tommy brought it up, but he loved to mess with me right before I left yesterday. He made sure to bring that up.
Well, guys, this time of year, it's really difficult for someone like me not to be in Bud Walton Arena for Senior Day and not to be at the state tournaments. And but you do it, you got to think about it. And I plan on being out in full force by the end of this week.
Kevin McPherson at AR Hoopscoop on Twitter. You can follow his work there. You can also watch him on the Pig Trail Nation as well as some other different places. Kevin, as always, appreciate your time, man. Hopefully you'll get better, and hopefully that means you'll end up in Nashville.
Good to be back with you guys. Looking forward to that and hope so too. Thank you.
Absolutely. Always good to talk with our buddy Kevin McPherson.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade with half the sugar and carbs of Mike's Hard.
A bright red Razorback caravan is headed to Nebraska, and this time, we're coming for the whole damn thing.
Live at the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Nashville, this is the Morning Rush, about a minute or so away from Bridgestone Arena. You know, this Jimmy Buffett song is perfect coming in because I had a blunder in which Tommy and Jenkins both thought I was drinking mimosas this morning while I was doing the program.
We could not correct you fast enough at the end of that last segment. Yeah. You said it was Tuesday.
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday.
Yeah. Well, and I had down on the rundown, Would You Rather Tuesday, for whatever reason. I don't know why. I just had it down. But I've been saying What Should Be Wednesday throughout the show.
So what are you, Ron Burgundy?
I just put
anything on the teleprompter and you'll read it?
Pretty much, yeah. I would say that's the level of professionalism I exert here on the Morning Rush. Donnie, tell us about 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge.
Yeah, What's Your Beef Wednesday brought to you by 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Great place to hang out during March Madness. Great place to watch the game tonight. Take the guys out and have a great time watching the game. It's all at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. We're big fans of the Jumbo Roasted Wings that's got the honey bacon jam. One thing you're going to find at 906 is they've got top shelf wines and liquors, premium beer, stuff you're not going to find anywhere else. So if you know there's a special bourbon that you like or a special scotch, they probably have it that you don't find in other places. So you can check that out at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Always check out their Facebook for special events and special music they got coming up as well. It's all at 906 Cocktail and Cigar Lounge. Sample, indulge, escape.
So I want to make sure I say this right. It's not a Would You Rather Tuesday. It is a What's Your Beef Wednesday here on the Morning Rush. So if you have a beef, text in, call in 877-377-6963, and it is, let's go and get into it.
What is wrong with you?
I want to complain.
I'm complaining.
I want to complain about
complaining.
I want to complain.
It really pisses me off today.
To simply listen to people whine and complain.
I'm angry. I'm spitting angry. I'm like a tornado of anger swirling about. My heart rate is dangerously high right now.
I'm complaining because not enough people tickle, hug, or smile.
I'm so mad I could eat ball bearings and crap BBs.
It's time for What's Your Beef Wednesday.
Tommy, we've already gotten a couple beefs texted in to us. And again, 877-377-6963 if you want to call or text in. And so on that note, I'll defer to you, and then we'll get into some of theirs, and then we'll get into mine because mine is a doozy based on some intel I got late in the last night, unfortunately.
Okay, so the low-hanging fruits, Mason Jones not getting the coach's player of the year. But I think my beef is some of the overreaction. It's not as though Mason Jones was completely left out of any of the accolades. The AP got him in there. Now, what is this? I guess here's my beef. How do you have not just two co-players of the year, three co-players of the year with the AP? How is it a co-player of the year? I mean, can't we just decide? Could it really be that tight? Can we not have a odd number of voters? Can we not figure this out how, you know, we can have some re-balloting, some re-voting? What is this, Ty, where we got Emmanuel Quickly, Mason Jones, and Reggie Perry all AP players of the year? That just seems a little bit too much like we don't want to declare a winner.
Yeah, I wish they would pick one, too. And it's funny because we've joked all season long, why does Mason keep getting co-SEC player of the year? Why did Robert Moore, after his 9-for-12 performance, get a co-SEC player of the week? Of course, Arkansas wouldn't end up with a co-something player
of the
year.
We called it 2 weeks ago.
That's what we said was probably going to happen, and it did.
Yeah. I just don't know. So, I guess it goes against my...
And it probably did.
Yeah, my old man stuff here that, you know, this participation trophy, millennial world stuff. It just has a millennial... participation trophy type feel to it to me.
Jenkins, you got one, man, before we get into the some of our listeners?
No, I'm good. It's been a happy week so far. Other than not getting asked to go to the SEC tournament, like getting my own Doubletree cookie. So,
guess the beef could be that Ty didn't know what a Doubletree cookie
one back for you.
Okay, there we go. Yeah.
There's your beef right there. We send Ty over to the Doubletree, and he doesn't even know what the Doubletree is all about.
I've since known about that, so I have been enlightened on the Doubletree cookie. This text comes in from B in Clarksville. He says, I have a big beef. Ruskin has been on the afternoon show 1 year ago today, and he hasn't won the best of the worst sports radio hosts yet. He needs to win the award so he can be able to wear that crown next year. So does that tie into the most annoying sports media from Arkansas, if he beats out Wally Hall or whoever else he has to compete against?
Yeah, if he's best of the worst, then where that leaves us, worst of the worst? Where does that leave us? I don't know if I like that idea, B.
Yeah. Jeffrey from Dirk says, my beef is with Ruskin and Zach 4 hours of those idiots.
Moving on.
Oh, man. They love that, man. They feed off that, Tommy. That's what's so great about it.
What makes it a great
show? They relish
it. Why it's a great show.
Yeah. Because they're non-traditional in how they go about things, and that's why I think they're so great in how they how they do that. So I guess I'll get into
my favorite listen of the day.
So last night we go to a pizza place in Nashville, Tommy, and we are eating and stuff. And this was I tested the equipment here at Doubletree at about 7, and that is coincidentally the same time the Bachelor finale was last night. So I told myself I need to stay off social media. I need to not read texts from friends because I got a bunch of texts from friends last night and a bunch of stuff that was responding to me on social media. It's like I still have yet to see the ending yet. And so we get back to after eating, and one of the guys I'm staying with, I'm like, hey, man, because he was watching the end of it, and I, like, turn away. I was like, hey, don't tell me how it ends. Like, I don't need to see this. And he's like, oh, okay, cool. So we're talking for a little bit, and, like, not five minutes later, and I'm just giving him a hard time, he accidentally spills what happens. And I'm just like, I'm looking at him, and my buddy Lawson looks at me and is just, like, shaking his head. I was like, dude, I just told you not to do that. So I just I have to give Han a hard time about that. So unfortunately, I know the ending of The Bachelor, but I haven't seen it yet. So I'm going to watch that on Hulu after we get some more work done here, unfortunately.
So for those of us that could not give a rip about The Bachelor, how did it end? Give us the thumbnail here. Did your girl win it?
So apparently, what I was told last night, here's what I was told, and I haven't watched it yet, that Madison went with Peter, but Hannah Ann was given the ring. So I think I don't know what to take from that.
Hang on,
co-bachelor.
Co-bachelorettes of the year.
Co-bachelor.
Co-fiancés.
Well, you going to move to Utah?
So, I mean, this is...
Maybe that's his plan.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. So, like, this is... Yeah, here's the thing. Like, that's what I took away. I haven't looked up anything, and I obviously haven't watched it, so I don't know the entire premise of what happened last night. Now, I'm going to watch it today so I can be included, but
You've been totally invested in this show to a point that it's been annoying.
Correct.
How do you not make your plans? How do you not set your schedule? There is no, I'm going to watch it later. This is your show. How did you not set your day up to be in front of the television at 7 o'clock for the part two? Because one night wouldn't contain it. The two-part finale of The Bachelor.
Tommy, what have I told you for the past year and a half or so that I've been working for you? What do I put head first in my life?
That our company
this
wouldn't
radio
exist,
station. What did I have to do last night? Or,
you keep telling us a lot of these
without
types
me.
Of things. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, I don't know if I've ever said that, but if you want to say that, I'll happily take that compliment. Yeah. So what did I have to do last night? I had to make sure that we were geared up and ready to go.
Yeah, but you could have gotten there an hour earlier.
So,
you could have
been
an hour later. You could have, were the master of your own schedule. No one handed you your schedule. You set your own schedule.
Listen, Mallory, who works here at the Doubletree, was kind enough after work to stop by and make sure that I was all set up. And I didn't want her to make her wait any longer, and I was going to hit traffic if I tried to do that. So this was the best possible time because, like I said, I put the radio station first over my needs, which is The Bachelor, on a Tuesday night. And so now I'm going to watch the tape delay of that. So, and man, let me tell you, I'm texting my stepmom this morning, and I'm like, I am so glad that I love you and you're not crazy like Peter's psycho mom. Oh my gosh, like I can't imagine, like I'm far off from getting married or anything, but I hope I don't end up with a psycho mother-in-law. That's like one of my biggest fears in life, is that I don't get along with my brothers-in-law, my sister-in-law, or my mother or father-in-law. That's like, in-laws are scary. So I feel
part
like,
of
right?
That's part of the decision you make. Yeah. You're not just marrying her. You're marrying the whole
family. You're not just marrying the whole family. Mm-hmm. So, and one thing what my sisters have done a great job with is I have two awesome brother-in-laws. And so I told my sister, I was like, there's kind of pressure on you that you don't screw up and not have a cool husband. We have to have an awesome brother-in-law, and the family too is cool.
Do they say the same thing about you though?
Probably not. They probably to my face, yeah, but probably behind my back there's other words that are said. So I'm just trying to vie to be the cool uncle of the family. Like, I don't know if Cousin Eddie is the right illustration for that, or Uncle Eddie or whatever. I just want to be known as the cool uncle of the family. Like the guy that does sports radio and that gives the kids gifts. Like that's my new goal in life when it comes to my nieces and nephews is to be known as the cool uncle. I think can I capitalize on that? Can I take advantage of that, Tommy?
Yeah, I think you could pull that off. I think that's doable for you.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can handle it. So, how many do you have a niece or nephew, Tommy? Are you known as the cool uncle in your
family?
I'm
probably not known as the cool uncle, but yeah, my brother has a son and a daughter, so yeah. I'm probably not known as the cool uncle.
I think you're cool, Tommy. I'm
way too old for that.
That'd be a great topic on this sports radio show. And I know it'd be leveled out, but who is the cooler host between Tommy and Ty? I think that'd be interesting, an interesting debate there. I think you'd win, honestly, Tommy. I think it'd be close, but I think you'd pull it out.
I don't know. You're still in your 20. You always remind me you're still in your prime, and I'm over the hill, so I'm probably past that now at this point. That, and I don't give two craps about being cool.
That's a good.
And that's all you worry about.
So. I just think, no, it's, oh my God, you always play up that card. That's not true.
Although
I care about putting on quality content and a quality radio show every single day.
Yeah. Suck it up. Yeah, here we go.
Go ahead. Suck say what you're going to say. It's going to be.
I'm just saying we're getting some text rolling in here. It says, oh, TC, hands down. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I do better than I think. Let's go. All right, so what's on your agenda today? You're going to be on the radio a little bit later. You're there in Nashville.
Yep.
Am I going to have to get that bail money ready?
Live at bail money. That'll be if they play in the championship on Sunday. But we are live at the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Nashville. So if you get a chance, come by and swing by tomorrow. And we're going to be talking Hogs all day on ESPN Arkansas. I'll pop on at halftime, and we'll have it for you on hitthatline.com as well. So, for Tommy Kraft, Matt Jenkins, I'm Ty Richardson.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.